Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your host, Jason Diaz. Call in and talk live, 646-915-9274. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be. You've found Radio Free Credit Union Show. It is radio, it is free, and it is all about credit unions. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the offices of Eloquent Online here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and joined in, as always, each week by my good buddy Troy Hall, the COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Good morning, Troy. How you doing?
I'm fine, Jason. How you doing today, buddy?
Not bad. We've got some really hot guests today. When you think credit unions and you think young guns and these youthful, passionate dudes that are out there shaking things up, the names that kind of come up to the top, Matt Davis, Brent Dixon, James Robert Lay. Well, we got Brent Dixon. It's just Brent from his Twitter profile on the show today. He's going to talk to us about the One Conference. We've got Adam Van Cleve coming up because he's heading out to the NYB event next week in St. Louis, and really looking forward to talking to those guys. What's great and cracking out in South Carolina this day?
Well, I hate to keep talking about the weather because every time we get together with that, but I'll tell you this week, of course, we were a little disappointed that the financial reform bill got passed, and left that information in for credit unions. So that kind of added to the heat wave a little bit here in South Carolina.
Well, I think the reason you talk about the weather so much is, I mean, what else are you going to talk about? I mean, I'm obviously the professional here, and I'm just kidding. But
Wow!
I saw that too about the thing passing, and you know what? The credit union's just going to have to modify their stuff and be flexible and make some moves on the move and just keep things rolling. But
And I think definitely why we need to talk a little bit to Brent about the One Conference, especially cutting edge, is because, we just can't sit back and just wait for somebody else to carve out our history and our future. We have to do it ourselves.
Have to do it ourselves, and you're absolutely right about that. And, of course, for credit unions, the good news is we do have people out there like you and your credit union, but especially to have that next generation of young, passionate people, Brent and Matt Davis and Adam Van Cleve and all the people that went out and crashed the One event. I think the way they've conducted themselves, it's just made it a lot of fun to watch. And like I've always told people, when I started speaking back in 2002, there really weren't that many young people that were real visible. Of course, there wasn't all the social media stuff that we have now, so it's really, really great to have it, and we're really, really looking forward to speaking to Brent here in just a second after the break. All right, well, if you are in front of a computer at any time during the week, if you know anything about credit unions and the cool young people that are involved in them, you by this time obviously have heard of Brent Dixon. He does a lot of stuff out there, and we are excited and thrilled to have him on the show. Brent, good morning to you. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
We're doing all right. Troy and I have been looking forward to spending some time chatting with you, and we wanted to get right to the event that you were at, and I just wanted to ask you, you were just out at the One Conference in Las Vegas. I think it was last week, correct?
Yep, it was. It was last week.
How did you, I know you're one of them, but how did you see young credit union professionals contributing at this event?
Contributing? Well, I mean, the week kicked off even before all the Crash the One folks got into town. I was able to facilitate the YCUP networking session. So it was almost a surreal, kind of terrifying, but really fun experience. it was like 65 people from 12 countries represented.
Oh.
And they actually had in the back of the room, like the One Conference is kind of like the UN, like everybody has headsets and there's translators in the back. And I had a translator in the back of the room. And before I go, Lily, who kind of, she's from Woku and she arranged the thing, was like, okay, Brent, I'll just make sure that you speak really slowly and you only communicate one idea per sentence And I'm like, this goes counter to, like, everything that I...
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't really sound like you.
I just drink a ton of coffee and, like, pray, and that's kind of how I hope for my speaking events. But, no, it was really fun, and it was, I mean, this group of people, unbelievably smart. I mean, among the people that actually needed translations were these guys from, I don't remember what country they were from, but they were in the Andes Mountains, so one of several countries represented there. And they had founded a credit union not long ago, I mean, like within a year. And it was for, I mean, obviously these people, Andes Mountains, very rural, completely unbanked, and had acquired 25,000 members in that amount of time. And had really kind of changed and almost created the economy for this culture out there. And so, I mean, to be able to be, and again, everyone in that room under 35 years old. So to be in a room with people that are making those kinds of changes happen in all of their individual countries, and to just kind of have the opportunity to swap, to sit down and just hear about what it's like in Kenya, what it's like in Trinidad, what it's like up in the Andes Mountains where everything is completely unbanked, and they're kind of building this thing from scratch. Was just a really interesting opportunity.
Did you find that in hearing about all of that it energized you in a particular way, or were there some like aha moments or something that came from it?
Oh yeah, well I mean that's and one of the goals behind the whole crash thing is also just to show how big this thing is that we're a part of, you know. And it can become, I think it can become easy to slip into this thing where, you know, if you work from the office and you work in the cubicle and you're focused on your particular members and your community, which is great, but then that kind of becomes the credit union movement. And to step outside of that and see this bird's eye view of, you know, we're a part of something that is massive, that is making significant changes across economies, across people's lives, all across the world, that's like it's a huge fire in the belly for me, and it kind of reminds me why the heck we're in this whole thing together, you know?
Yeah.
We're visiting with... Oh, I'm sorry, Troy, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you think there's a difference in the way folks in different age groups think about the movement? Like, when you consider the fact that we originally started as a process for people helping people to provide access where people did not have access before, but more and more we find strategic directions, strategic initiatives that are moving us toward, you know, looking for ways to be profitable, get that product that gets that fee income, and really driving it in a way that might not necessarily jive with us philosophically. Do you think that that varies depending upon what age group you're in, or does it just, do you think it maybe just matter based on the way the credit union operates?
I think it's dependent mostly on the credit union. You know, I actually, it was kind of cool. Coming back from the One Conference, I planned on some of the folks from Australia, from the Australian Y Cup group, came to New York afterwards, so I planned on meeting up with them. I sat by this girl on the plane who was flying in from Vancouver, Canada. She was about my age, maybe a little bit younger, and we were just kind of talking about, you know, about Vancouver, and I was talking about how we were going to meet up with the Aussies, and she was actually in town for a while, so she was going to come meet up with all of us as well. I kind of asked her what she did, and she brought up Van City. Like, I mentioned something credit union, something, and she was like, oh, my God, Van City, like, and talked about how cause-driven they are, how much change they bring to the community, and how they're so, like, in her mind and in her friend's mind, they are so differentiated. She said no bank does that kind of thing. Like, they're such an anomaly. And so I do think that Van City is completely committed to purpose, right? And everything they do is driven. They operate on a triple bottom line. Everything they do is driven by that purpose. And so, you know, when you compare them to some other shops that might be just focused on, okay, we need to spread. We're going full community charter. We've gone through these mergers. We don't exactly know who we are right now, but we just kind of know that we want to pursue growth, but we don't exactly know what growth looks like. Then, yeah, you're degrading kind of how you communicate yourself. That was a long way of saying I think it has a lot more to do with the specific credit unions than it has to do with the generations represented.
All right, we are visiting with Brent Dixon. He's talking to us about the One Conference that occurred a little while ago in Las Vegas. Brent, was there one piece of compelling advice that you got from the conference that you really took to heart and that you're going to take back and apply and encourage other credit unions to apply?
A lot. I mean, talking to our first speaker was Ellie. We just called her Ellie Z because nobody knows how to pronounce her last name. She's from Macedonia. And she had literally, she was in her 20s, obviously a woman, and that in Macedonia, that in and of itself is a roadblock, had quit a job at a bank And she founded the credit union in Macedonia. The whole credit union system is her. And she just kind of talked about what it takes to, I mean, she talked about the beauty of youth, and like one of the things is, and Matt wrote about this in his blog post Reasons. It was on his blog and the Crash blog, but that there's a beautiful thing with naivety, right? Like when you don't know what you can't do, and you kind of have this just fearless mentality because you haven't really been beaten down with quote unquote the reality of the world. And she, I mean, one of her really encouraging points was embrace that and run with it as long as you can. And she talked about the fact that she still tries to run with that, and that fearlessness got her through all of these barriers associated with being a young woman fighting for respect to get this credit union off the ground.
Now, in terms of the event itself, it was billed as sort of a once-in-a-lifetime conference. Do you think, in your opinion, there's going to be a two conference?
No, I don't. I mean, that's in that scenario, I don't, because, you know, next year, WOCU is going to be in Glasgow, and CUNA will have their, they can't bring the America's Credit Union Conference to Glasgow because that would just be weird.
Right,
and,
that's true.
So I think that this was just like a really fantastic, yeah, like you said, a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity to capitalize on. You know, the economic climate is weird. People are going to conferences less. So consolidate, make one big blowout event instead of having kind of a scattershot thing.
And Jim Collins was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was. I actually missed his session, but I heard it was great.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to ask you a few questions.
I was going to ask you a question about that.
I was running around doing stuff, but I heard one of the things, I mean, just relevant to youth, Denise Wymore told me that he said basically, you're dying. And he said the credit unions need to make, I mean, reaching young people, and I think we can see this even when it just comes to prime borrowing years, members in their prime borrowing years going down. Like, in order to survive, he was like, you're getting old and you might just die. So kind of a scary, intense thing to come out of Jim Collins' mouth, but definitely a truth, I think.
I'm sorry, Troy, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I really understand that because, you know, we focused, you know, last week we spoke, or a couple of weeks ago, we spoke with Tim McAlpin regarding Young and Free and the need to make sure that we are building into the fiber of the organization, the youth, to actually keep things moving along. And so, you know, it just really is very timely to do that. And I personally think his statement was dead on. And sometimes the problem is we don't want to hear the tough stuff. We just want to hear the nice little love on your stuff. But the tough stuff that says, hey, you better wake up and do something, and definitely you've got to get, credit unions have got to get more involved in youth movement. They have to involve more youth into the process. And when I say youth, I'm not talking about 12-year-olds. I'm talking about people like you, Brent, people like you who can really and truly bring a youthful thought process into this environment and make it work.
Yep, absolutely.
The next thing you're headed out to is going to be the NYIB, the National Youth Involvement Board, out in St. Louis. And to talk about that, we're going to bring in a couple other people that are going to be going to that show with you. I'm excited, Brent, because I just found out this week that you and I are going to be speaking at the same event in Oregon in October later this year. But before we get there, you're on your way to St. Louis, and so I want to talk to you about that right after the break, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live to talk, 646-915-9274.
And yes, in case you're wondering, I said right back because I could not find the button to hit the quick hit, but I did. So see, Troy, I can multitask, even though you don't think that I can.
I know, and I'm so happy, though, that you don't have a fan or a candle that
I lit a candle one day, Brent, and when I started the show, I moved it away from my microphone, and because I'm so smart, I put it next to my printer, and that's probably not the greatest way to maintain fire safety in the American workplace on any given day. Hey, we're going to bring in a couple people that I believe they were all with you in Las Vegas out at the one event. We've got Adam Van Cleef from Chetco Federal Credit Union. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm fantastic.
And we've got your buddy Josh on the line from Una Federal Credit Union, I believe it is.
That's right.
How you doing, Josh? It's nice to have you. I am a fan of your president, a young guy that I met a couple years ago. And I remember when I met him, I remember thinking, we just need more and more of this kind of stuff out there in the credit union world.
He is an excellent CEO to work for, that's for sure.
I believe it. He's a really nice guy, a real bright guy, too. Let me ask Adam first. You were out there with Brent at the One Conference. I kind of want to ask you the same question before we jump into the NYB. Was there one session that you just were like, whoa, that really stayed with me, that really hit home with me?
Wow. That'd be really tough to pick one. There were some powerful points in all of them. But, I mean, there was one when we were sitting there talking with Gigi Highland. It was kind of cool where we kind of took her down another track. You know, we want to talk about NCUA, but we started to talk to her about, you know, her career and how do you get into credit, you know, how she got where she's at. And she was just basically the idea of just go for it and do not let anybody tell you no. You know, you just got to keep fighting for it, keep fighting for what you want if you want to move on.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was powerful to be able to speak with her on that level. And just kind of grill her and get some good advice out of, you know, here's somebody that has obviously made something good for themselves.
Yeah, when someone like Gigi Highland comes in and says, lay it out, ask me whatever you want, that in and of itself is a really cool. I mean, she literally just came and said, open it up. You know, let's talk
right.
about whatever you want to talk about.
And, you know, Troy knows this, but a couple of years ago, the president of Chetco Federal, and this is what I love about the Crashers. A couple of years ago, the president of Chetco Federal Credit Union, Dan Barron, suggested we should have a conference out there for just people under the age of 30. I think he even said 25. And it sounded like a great idea, but of course, the economy intervened, and there was just no room for a new conference. And what I love what you Crashers have done is you did what your generation always does. You didn't wait around for someone to create a conference for you. You've basically created your own. You know, the crash of the GAC conference, and now this one, you've created this awesome social network, and I really think you've breathed a lot of vitality into the credit union marketplace that was kind of stinging a bit after all the stuff with interchange was going down and things like that. And Troy, I know you're always saying how important it is to have these young people out there. It's got to be real gratifying for guys like us.
Absolutely, it's paramount to the success and for the long term. A value, you know, for the future of the credit union movement. We've got to have young folks who are actively involved in what we're doing and help folks like Jason, who's a little bit on the older side, you know. Who's
I
just
dare you.
A
All right, let's switch gears a bit and talk about the event coming up next week. Now, Brent, you're speaking at the NYIB event. What's your topic going to be about?
We're doing a couple of things. One, on the first day, Monday, Matt Davis and I are going to be co-presenting. We're doing a workshop. Actually, so it'll be less of a session, more of a let's get our hands dirty kind of a thing. But we're going to be talking about design thinking, which is basically how to apply some of the same lines of thought that, I mean, my background is in design. So how to apply some of the same lines of thought that designers use, graphic designers, industrial designers, finding ways to tap into empathy and open up opportunities for new experience, finding ways to take ideas and bring them into reality as quickly as possible with whatever you have on hand, duct tape, cardboard, whatever it takes, and how to apply that as an innovation process for credit unions.
And then, Adam, you're also heading out there. What can you tell people about the event that you're heading out there to attend?
It's action-packed. We have got a lot of great speakers. I'm the Northwest Region Coordinator for the NYIB, so we're we're heading out there a little early to get everything all kind of set up. And we've got some great, great speakers. I mean, of course, we have Brent, Claudine Oriani from Oregon. We've got Ron Galloway, a filmmaker, talk about some technology trends. And we've got James Robert Lay there for
Oh, yeah, James Robert.
And
I didn't even know he was going to be there. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's going to be. Yeah, we had him on the show. When was it, Troy? About maybe a month ago, I guess it was.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, about a month. Hey, Brent, I wanted to ask you. You talk in your session. I think you're going to mention about seven steps that of human-centered design. I just love this write-up stuff. You know, so can you tease us with at least one of the seven steps?
Well, one of the steps, and one of the things that we'll spend some time looking at is observation. So ethnographic research, and we're actually going to look at a study that Filene did, an ethnographic study where literally. The study was called Why Choose a Credit Union, and they wanted to know kind of about these, what motivates people to make the decisions that they make, and kind of what are the differences in what people say they do and even think that they do and they actually do. So literally, filing researchers went into people's homes, kind of invaded their wallets, asked them to give them a tour of the wallet, had them sit down and go through the process, what it looks like to budget, and literally just kind of shadowed them and observed them rather than just stopping at, here's a survey, right? So there's some, I don't know who said it, but there's some saying, like, I would rather be approximately right rather than precisely wrong. And so we're going to kind of focus on, when it comes to ethnographic research, you're focusing on approximately right, and it also helps you get outside of your own head and have empathy for people, which kind of leads to a whole new source of inspiration for ideas.
Oh, that sounds really cool. I'm kind of wishing I were going to this event, Troy.
I know, really.
If you're just joining us, obviously I've got Troy Hall, our co-host, is on the air. We've got Brent Dixon. We got Adam Van Cleve from Chetco Federal Credit Union, and we've got Josh Williams from down in MUNA Federal Credit Union. Josh, if for credit unions that are listening, why should they get their young people involved in the NYIB?
It's a great movement to help just financially educate the people in your community. It's a way for your credit union to actually reach out in the community without making it seem like you're trying to just promote yourself all the time, which is what a lot of credit unions and banks are always trying to do, is they're just pushing their own marketing down your throat and they're not really showing what they can do. And it's amazing what can be done when you actually get into the school systems and you're actually giving back to the community and not just asking for them to give to you. You know, and financial literacy, especially here in Mississippi, it's just such a huge, huge thing that if we can get other youth involved and get them to go into the school systems and to be able to present to these to the school-aged kids, you know, and get them started in the right direction to begin with instead of trying to fix and correct bad habits after.
Right, and I think you guys are very fortunate to have the Young and Free program down there as well, are you not?
We are. We actually were the first state. We've had it for about 3 months now. We were the first state to actually get it to where all the credit unions in the state bonded together and did it as a cooperative effort instead of it being just one credit union in the state.
Right.
You know, so we were very lucky that we were able to work cooperatively like that and get our league to actually buy into it as well.
Since we're talking about financial literacy, Troy, I'm not sure if you know this or not, but when Adam, I think he was only 21 years old, he was really sort of the second half of the brains behind that first concert for financial literacy we did out in Brookings, Oregon, back in May 2008. And Adam, since you were so involved in that, do you think in that time you've seen more and more credit unions focusing on youth using some of these cool programs like Young and Free and live concerts and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we've all seen at conferences and everything, and I mean, I see it just from being involved with the NYIB, how much credit unions are just starting to really hit it hard on getting youth involved and are getting into the schools and financial literacy, and this year has been huge for financial literacy. I can't spill it yet, but when our numbers come out for NYIB at our annual meeting next week, everybody's going to be pretty astonished on how many students were reached out to by the NYIB Network for Financial Literacy this year. It was absolutely incredible. So, I mean, yeah, I think we've definitely seen a huge shift. And, I mean, we've been doing it, you know, since 2001, but it was slowly catching on, you know, nationwide through credit unions back then, but now it is just huge. And, I think we're going to continue to see credit unions take a more important leadership role probably in financial literacy for schools. I think we're on the verge of being able to get our name out there and say, hey, we're legit. Let's do this. And I know on the Oregon, I'm on the Oregon Financial Literacy Committee, and we're just on the edge. You know, everybody is just that close to having a breakthrough when it comes to school districts or, you know, school boards and so forth. So, and getting financial literacy to be a requirement. And I think credit unions are going to be one of the leading forces behind that movement.
Well, I want to give Troy the last question. And Troy, why don't you go ahead and ask Brent something about the event next week?
Well, one of the things I was going to ask was about the, the concept that you were talking about with the getting people with financial literacy, and ask you, do you feel that financial literacy in credit unions is a must-have benefit that we have, very similar to sometimes when we put together like an ATM network. And maybe the ATM network isn't necessarily profitable when we put it together, but we know that we have to have it because it also provides the competitive edge. Do you think that financial literacy is really moving in that direction?
Are you asking that to me or to Adam?
Brent, for Brent.
Okay. I do, but I kind of have, and this is totally up for debate, but I have problems with kind of the traditional notion of financial literacy, which is, you know, we're going to build a little video game for you to go and you're going to play and you're going to shoot the, you know, you're going to shoot dollar signs out, and you're going to somehow learn this magical lesson, or you're going to sit in a class that is completely removed from real life, learn things that you won't necessarily need to know until, you know, a year from now, some other situation. I think it's got to be built in context, and the best, I think, rather than calling it financial literacy, it's almost just guidance. Credit unions are there to offer guidance, and whether that's building products that help, you know, Real Solutions is a great group, and they build products that help dig people out of financial ditches, get them back into healthy financial lives, and that's financial literacy in a part of, you know, and programs like Educators Credit Union has What's Your Score, where they actually will sit down with you, look at your credit score, and help hook you up with the financial products that will fix what is wrong with your credit score. All of that, doing that in context, I think is the way to do it. And I do think that that's credit union's responsibility to bring that guidance, but I think there's a right and a wrong way to do it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Well, listen, I want to thank all of y'all for being on the show today. I just got a question in the chat room asking which credit union Josh works at. So, Josh, why don't you tell everybody before we sign off?
It's MUNA Federal Credit Union. It's MUNA.
All right. And,
we're in Meridian, Mississippi.
Meridian, Mississippi. I know that area very, very well. I want you guys to promise me that you'll have safe travels out to St. Louis. I hope you guys have a great time. I look forward to following all your activities and antics on the various social networks that we see you guys on. Brent, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I hope we get you on the air again. Thanks for everything you're doing out there. On behalf of Credit Union, same thing to you, Adam and Josh. And I hope you guys have a great trip out to St. Louis next week.
Thanks so much for having us on, man.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome. Talk to y'all
later. Bye, everybody.
Yeah, until next week.
So, Troy, I mean, what do you think? I mean, the when you go out and you talk to anybody, it's always so much about youth, and you've got to do this. I think stuff like the NYIB, the Young and Free program and stuff like that is just great momentum for the credit union world. I mean, what do you think of all that?
Well, you heard me throughout not only this program but the previous three or four programs. You know, I've been a huge advocate that we need to do that and we need to make that. And it's not about dollars and cents at the bottom line. It's about sometimes survival. Yeah. And you can't always track sometimes the right things to do. And what you have to realize is that if you have an aging demographics within your credit union, and you want those aging demographics to move downward, then you're going to have to put some young people in it, and you're going to have to do it in a way in which it's meaningful for them.
And that is so true.
And you have to have programs. You know, we talk about having programs that go from, you know, from the beginning from birth until, you know, later on in life to your mature in life. But seriously, credit unions have got to take hold of getting that 18 to 25-year-old group and introduce them to the credit union. The SEG movement is no longer the number one way that people come into the credit union now with all the community charter activities. And what happens is when you have a community charter activity, you dilute your original philosophical viewpoint of how that credit union was originally formed, because those entite members who used to come from a particular you know, select employer group is no longer the same. So you're just bringing in people off the street who think that those products and services are yours, and their common bond is only using the products and services, where before the common bond was them relating with each other on a day-to-day basis, so they would bring that culture into the credit union as well, and that isn't happening. So that's why these events and the events like you're having where you do the music and you get people involved and you do that awareness activity, that you are starting to create those small little social gatherings that allow people to connect and become involved in pretty much and hopefully replace what that SEG was being replaced by with the community group actually doing some of those activities. So that's what I'm thinking.
And I love what Brent said about how, you know, maybe it's time just to not even think about it as financial literacy, but as something else. Well, we've got less than a minute to go on the show. As if you've been tuning into the show regularly, you know this is going to be one of our themes. We're just going to talk about youth and intentionally engaging young people with young people, and we look forward and have future conversations about this. Troy, as always, I sure appreciate you helping me run the show here, and I look forward to talking to you again next week.
You got it, man, and we're going to talk about something other than the weather in the beginning.
I promise. I will, too. Hey, listen, everybody. I'm looking at my ticket up on my window here from American Airlines. On this day, 5 years ago, I landed at Fiumicino Airport in Rome, Italy, for the World Council of Credit Unions back in 2005. And I'm always amazed at how much has changed. I want to dedicate this show to a very, very dear coworker we lost this week out at Chetco Federal Credit Union, Vincent Jaramillo. Your job might be replaced, but you will never, ever be replaced, and you will never, ever be forgotten. Have a great weekend.
Yeah.